Welcome to Coffee to Go, where we center ourselves in the scriptures, seasons, and holy days of the Christian tradition. I'm Karen Peter, here with Blake Smith. We welcome you on the journey. This Sunday is the last in this year's Easter Sunday. It is Ascension Sunday. Now, the Feast of Ascension actually happens during the week, Thursday, this week. But when we acknowledge the Ascension on a Sunday, we do it the Sunday before the Feast of Ascension, which is today. And this is the scripture that depicts Jesus departing his earthly life and returning to God's presence. And because it's the same scripture this year as it was last year, we're going to have a fun repeat of last year's dialogue about Luke 24. Verses 44 to 53. And at the end of that, be sure and stay tuned because Blake has a fresh blessing.
All right. Today's passage comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, and it is the 44th through the 53rd verse. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. Now, on Palm Sunday, we had Jesus entering Jerusalem from Bethany, and just a little quick tidbit of trivia here as well. In 2 Samuel, we read that King David, when he was fleeing Jerusalem, he fled through the East Gate, which is the gate that Jesus entered on Palm Sunday. And though 2 Samuel doesn't specifically mention Bethany, it does say that David went up to the top of the hill, which is a similar description of the town of Bethany, and that's where he was given a donkey to ride away from Jerusalem. So just an interesting tidbit. I'm not sure exactly what significance it has, but as we're talking about fulfilling prophecy and coming around full circle, I thought it was really interesting. So it's here in Bethany that he tells the disciples to stay in the city, and he leaves Jerusalem and heads towards Bethany. He takes them out as far as Bethany. There's also apparently some real significance to Bethany. It could be that it's just the closest town when you leave the East Gate, and that's where you kind of take a stop and a resting point.
Even I told you, Blake, I think it's the suburb where the Costco is, because everybody needs to stop in Bethany.
Yeah, and if there's anybody who lives in Lamoni, that would be Bethany is where the Walmart is and the McDonald's.
There you go.
It's the nearest town. This is all symbolic of the fulfillment of scripture and prophecy. I mean, he's mentioning that. He says, "These are my words that I spoke to you." And it's so that the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms would be fulfilled. And we could look at a bunch of different scriptures where that's foretold. One in particular, because he is specifically mentioning Jerusalem, is in Isaiah, the second chapter, the third verse. It says, "Let us go up to the hill of the Lord, to the temple of Israel's God. He will teach us what he wants us to do. We will walk in the paths he has chosen, for the Lord's teaching comes from Jerusalem. From Zion, he speaks to his people." So there's a lot of symbolism and symbolic importance here. What is really important about this passage is that Jesus is commissioning his disciples yet again, right before he is ascending into heaven. He tells them that they are the witnesses. They are the ones who are going to be the story bearers of new life. They are the ones that are going to be the story bearers of repentance and forgiveness. And he tells them to wait there and that he will send what has been promised so that they will be empowered. And that is the Holy Spirit, so that they'll be empowered to be creative and authentic and brave and all the things that they need to be the story bearers. And it wasn't just for them, that commissioning, again, talking about symbolism and being symbolic, is also pointing toward us. So it's there where Jesus blesses them. Another symbol that happens there, he raises his hand. These are the hands that still show the marks of the nails in his hands. It's in some ways a symbol also of vulnerability, but he blesses them. He raises his hand and blesses them and again tells them to wait and rest for the Spirit to come so that they will be empowered to do. It's that time of rest is really important, especially as we sit here on this Sunday in between Easter and Pentecost. At the end of the Easter season, we have been on an absolute roller coaster ride in those last days of Jesus' ministry, coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, all of the events that took place during Holy Week, the crucifixion, the resurrection, emotions, they've got to be absolutely drained. So here, Christ gives them a blessing again and allows them a time of rest, because right around the corner will be the coming of that promised Holy Spirit through the Pentecost, and things are going to get crazy again. So it's just important that we see that this is ushering in another busy time of active discipleship and storytelling and story bearing. We might also take heed to that need for rest as we consider our own discipleship. We also need that rest. So, and the other thing is that, Jesus says that the Spirit will clothe you. So if you need something really positive to look at, who doesn't like new clothes? Right? Who doesn't like new clothes?
You get them on Pentecost, apparently. What's not to love there? Yeah.
Right. I don't necessarily like to shop, but I like some new clothes every once in a while.
Sometimes, Blake, by the time I've been through a really active, period of ministry and I need some kind of downtime, my attitude also needs to be reclothed, if you will. So it's probably a good thing to get some of those new clothes on Pentecost.
Jason Biasi writes, Jesus must withdraw to make room in the disciples for the Spirit to come, which is another interesting perspective. We look at the ascension, Jesus is going to be with God, but Jesus needs to give space for his disciples to rest and be ready to receive what is yet to come. I kind of like that.
Yeah, that's a good image.
Yeah. So in the meantime, though, hang out here, go get some rest, be a blessing to one another. I mean, they've gotten the blessing from Jesus, but they're also in, and we look back over the last couple of weeks as we've talked about abiding in the vine and abiding in one another, that we're also called to be a blessing to one another. The waiting in this case can be the blessing. The waiting can be the blessing. That's a message I need to hear myself, because I don't like to wait. I don't like to wait. I like to get it done or move on or stay busy. So let's take the time here to rest and be with one another and bless one another. Some questions that we might ask ourselves, and picking up on that idea of being clothed, clothed with the Holy Spirit. Jesus will send clothing of the Spirit, but the question is, will we wear it? Will we wear it? Are we going to want to return it? it's become way too easy to order things, try them on, and send them back these days with online shopping. So
yeah, that's really interesting when you really look at that image of being clothed. Yeah, Jesus is sending it, but will we wear it? Will we really wear the clothing of discipleship?
Yeah. And the other side of that is, how will we make room for the Spirit in our life. We might get really comfortable in that waiting space where Jesus has withdrawn and the Spirit hasn't come and we're not challenged. We can just rest. But that resting time is to make space for the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Good point. Well, let's talk about experiencing this this scripture this week. There's this wonderful pattern in the scripture that sets that's the waiting, the resting, and the blessing are seem to be the active words that's that stand out today as we read this scripture. So I'm thinking in experiencing this week that maybe it is simply to kind of rest in prayer, listen to our breathing, kind of let that live with us. And so we did a counting prayer last week. So this might feel a little bit like that, but it's a resting blessing. It's a blessing for that resting, wait, rest, and bless. So it's the breathing in and breathing out. So we're going to breathe in the same three words and then breathe out those same three words. And we'll just do it three times. And you can do that as many times this week as you feel like doing it. But it's simply to breathe in. And as you breathe in, to kind of let those three words be in your being, in your centering. So you breathe in with wait, rest, and bless. And then you breathe out. Wait, rest, bless, and do that three times in sequence. And that will be our way of breathing, waiting, resting, and blessing in our breathing this week.
Our blessing today comes from Irreverent Prayers, and it's called Waiting Rooms. And the authors are Elizabeth Felicetti and Samantha Vincent Alexander. God, who seems to encourage waiting, I spend so much time in the waiting rooms, and so do my loved ones, who sometimes wait without me. How are our hearts supposed to take courage when our souls feel like they're being sucked out by the bland art on the walls, no doubt bought in bulk? Sometimes the waiting rooms have trees. For Christmas, for Valentine's Day, even pink in support of breast cancer. I detest these decorations that are supposed to distract and comfort. Help me breathe in strength and solace in waiting rooms. When my loved ones are alone in such rooms, let them feel Jesus next to them. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks for joining us here at Coffee to Go. We invite you to join us next time for the next part of our journey through the liturgical seasons and holy days of the Christian tradition.